Look at you all tightened up because you're on a show now.
I just worked. First, I'd like to introduce myself to the audience. My name is Oliver Hudson, in case you don't know. I worked in Albuquerque today, this morning, 8:30 a.m. call. Did one scene, got on a plane, and now I'm in Los Angeles with my children's. And then I go back on Friday. So I'm like back and forth and back and forth. So I still have my makeup on. I got shit in my hair. You know, I'm fucking camera ready, baby.
Is this your look? This is your look for the show with the...
Yeah, kind of like that. I'm doing my hair for those of you. I'm pushing it back. You know, kind of a little greasy-ish kind of, you know what I mean? FBI.
Yeah.
Hot FBI guy, you know?
Hot FL, if you do say so yourself.
Yeah.
I got a lot to talk to you about.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I like it. Your voice sounds like... What? Aaron's reminding me of Instagram. Oh. She's reminding to talk to you about something that happened to me.
Okay.
Good. Always
You're getting notes from your wife.
I
love it.
I know. I got a note. So,
how good is this? Can Aaron hear me?
Yeah.
So I get to New York. Michelle and I fly. We get to the hotel. Natalie's walking her dog. We're staying at the Greenwich Hotel. Natalie's walking her dog, and she says, "Hey, I'm going to be out in front of your hotel in the next 5 minutes. Come down and say hi." Because we were not having dinner that night. We were having dinner the next night. So I came down. I hadn't seen her in a month. She walks her dog up the street, give each other a big hug. We're talking for literally 2 minutes, and she goes, "Oh, by the way, you know, it's Fashion Week here in New York." And I said, "Oh, no, I didn't know that." Somehow I wasn't invited in the Met Ball or whatever it's called. So then this SUV pulls up and the paparazzi gathers around. And she's like, "Oh, my God, it's, you know," Natalie's like, "Oh, it's going to be a big star. Who is it?" "It's your fucking sister."
Yeah.
Like the one person I know. It wasn't Lady Gaga. It wasn't Jennifer Lopez. It wasn't Bradley Cooper. It wasn't any. It's like somebody I can text and somebody that Natalie knows. And
right.
It was like, oh my. And then it was great. I haven't seen your sister in a year.
No, I know, but it's funny because it's like, it's this like sort of this double-edged feeling in a sense where like, oh, is it going to be someone cool who's going to come out of the limo? And you're kind of anticipating someone exciting, yeah. And then it's Kate, which is always great to see her, but it's sort of like, ah, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could do this, you know. She'd come to St. Louis if I needed. Well, no, she wouldn't. You might.
I would. I'm there, baby. Just buy me the ticket.
Yeah, but
first
it was
class.
But it was great to see her, and I saw Danny, and I met Ronnie for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, she was. So we went to her. Natalie and I went up to her room. Natalie brought her dog, and so we caught up for a minute. And then I never saw her again. That was the last time I saw her.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, she was just an apparition. It wasn't even her. It was a ghost. Let me ask you a question. If you could have anyone choose someone to walk out of that limo that you would be so excited to see, who would it have been?
The Rock.
Really?
No.
You know, if boom, the door opens and so-and-so steps out, you'd be like, oh, shit, that's pretty
fucking
cool.
Yeah, okay. My answer is Heather Thomas from 1985.
Are you kidding me? Okay. So Heather Thomas, I can't believe you just said that. I don't even know if any of our listeners know who the hell she is, you know?
Yeah.
Was she in the Fall
but
Guy?
But if you're of a certain age, you know who the hell Heather Thomas is. Jesus.
That's crazy because one of my early memories, Heather Thomas was shooting, had a photo shoot at my friend Dylan's house. And Barbara, her mom, was my mom's best friend. She actually introduced me to golf, Barbara did. And I remember hiding under tables with Dylan, trying to get a glimpse of this girl. And all I knew is that her name was Heather Thomas. I didn't know where she came from. She was just stunning.
She came from heaven, Oliver.
She did.
She came from heaven.
She did. It is a very early sexual memory for me where I was just enamored with, like, oh,
everybody
my God.
My age, I'm 52, most of my friends had a Heather Thomas poster in their bedroom.
Oh, my God. I got to look her up. I cannot wait to look her up.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. So it would have to be
Heather Thomas
from 1985 or Weird Science Girl.
Kelly LeBrock. No, that's a good game. See, I'd have Nicole Eggert from Charles in Charge probably step
out. Yeah. Okay. You know? That's good.
Yeah. She was my jam. I had a poster of her in my room. And another vivid memory, I had a massive fever. And you know how you have those like fever nightmares? You know, have you read like those fever dreams where you're awake but you're losing it? And that poster literally came off of my wall and was like floating around my room. So I had, Nicole Eggert chasing me in a fever dream around my childhood bedroom.
Better than having Scott Baio chase you around.
Oh, my God. She was my number one, too, man.
Heather, she was great.
Oh, God. Nicole Eggert was so pretty.
Yeah, funny. So that was that. And then here's what I'm realizing.
Okay.
It is innate in all of us to be manipulators.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because we are now going full on, full steam ahead with his sleep training for our 3-year-olds.
Oh.
Where they have it's called a monkey lock, where the door can open a little bit, which I don't really understand. I guess that gives them a little glimpse of hope. It's like leaving the cell door cracked open in Alcatraz so that they can see what's happening in San Francisco. So the things open just a little bit. Last night, they did a decent job of going to sleep. I was the one that slept upstairs. I don't want to be downstairs. And Michelle got home. She was working. She slept in our bedroom downstairs. So I slept decently. And then I wake up because the boys are up. And I let them out of their room, which is like the biggest demerit that I should be given comes from that. Because I thought it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, you guys did such a good job. But it's still dark. And if you guys go back to sleep, we're going straight to the toy store on Saturday. And Wyatt, my little genius boy, goes, we've got plenty of toys. We don't want to go to the toy store. We just want to sleep with you. I was like, they just threw toys out of the window.
Yep.
And then they're like, Mommy, I love you. Daddy, I love you so much. Mommy, I love you. I love you, Daddy. Please come in. Why are you doing this to me? Why? Let me out of here. Why? I want to get out of here. Why are you doing this to me? Why? And then 5 minutes later, they're asleep. And in the morning, they don't remember it. They don't even reference it. But in the middle of the night at 3:45, they were throwing a trip to the toy store out of the window to get their way.
Yeah. Wow.
They're three.
Wait a minute. So did you left them in their room while they were saying, Mommy, Daddy, I love you. And you were like, I'm sorry, you got the monkey lock on.
Monkey lock time.
You can get a little glimpse of heaven. There is the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, but it's just not there yet. So,
right.
But then you just stayed strong. And how long, honestly, before they were actually asleep?
Honest to God, no more than 5 minutes.
Isn't that fucking crazy, man? Like, you got to get over this idea that you're hurting them in some way.
Exactly.
You know,
and Michelle cannot right now. I've done it now for 3 nights. She was gone. I'm over it.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. There's nothing in their room that they can get hurt with.
Yeah.
They're not being abused. They're fine. So it's time to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we do 2 books. They have to be in their bed, legs under the sheets, head on the pillow. And if they don't do that, they don't get their books, which they do. And whatever. And then it's like good night. And they throw a shit fit and then they're over it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an act.
Well,
it's
you know, it's interesting because it's really a first time parent thing and you're not that. So there's 2 different schools, not schools, but you're a salty veteran. You're calloused, man. You've been through it. And I can only say that because I am as well. I mean, when Aaron and I had Wilder, our first, it was horrifying. We were trying to sleep train him. He was 3 weeks early. He looked like a baby bird who just fallen out of his nest. I'm like, oh God, we have an ugly, weird kid. All right, that's fine. I'll get over that. But just go to sleep. And then we put him in the bed. We just didn't know what the fuck we were doing, you know, and it was this first time thing. Cut to Rio. It's like, oh, stay in your room. Sorry, throw up in your bed. I don't even care in your crib. Like, right. You are staying in there, and that's just the way it's going to be, you know?
Right, but you kind of blew my whole act when last week, because my wife, unlike your wife, listens to our podcast, and she's like, I agree with Oliver. I agree with Oliver, mm-hmm. where you had said, hey, eventually they're not going to sleep in your bed. Mm-hmm. Eventually they're going to put their own clothes on. Mm-hmm. Eventually they're going to, I'm like, I got it. But eventually I'm going to be dead. So between now and then, I don't want to be juggling and laying in their room until 10 o'clock at night while I'm holding their hand so that they drift off to sleep in their little cocoon.
Yeah, right? I mean, if you tally up all those hours, that's at least half a year right now.
Yes.
You know? I mean,
yes, and emotionally and mentally, it's more than half
yes,
a year.
Yes, and time.
I am
time,
aging
it's half
before
a
your
year.
Eyes. I'm like, my face is like the guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
It just melts in front of your face.
I know, but once you do it, and once they break through, then you're golden, you know. But then mm-hmm. it's on to the next problem. You know, it's like, oh, we conquered this, and you think life is easy, and maybe it is, and then it's on to the next thing. And then there's something else that happens, you know.
Well, then they're not going to sleep in their bed. Then they're not going to sleep in their bed with their pull up. Then it's going to be
right
underwear, and it's going to be the piss and shit show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've said this before, but I want to write a children's or a parenting book or a parenting pamphlet, really, just called Fear and Bribery. You know, because that's literally how it's done. You can read all of the best authors and all the most world-renowned, you know, parental writers in the country, in the world. At the end of the day, it comes down to fear and bribery. Everything gets thrown away. When you are
yeah.
on your razor's edge and your nerves are frayed, then it just becomes, if you do this, I'll give you this. Or if you don't do this, you're not going to get this. I mean, that's literally what parenting comes down to. And potty training was the same way with us. We used to sit Wilder on the little toilet for like hours. He would just be sitting there, and I had like a cup of M&Ms, like waiting. And when he peed, right. I gave him the M&M. I mean, he's like a dog. It worked. Yeah, Aaron's right next to me. She goes, all of our kids were potty trained at 18 months wearing underwear because we just kept them plopped. Not at night. Yeah, but we kept them plopped down. Gave them a little, oh, good boy, a little pee-pee. Here's a little M&M.
Right. I mean, that's, first of all, I would love to canvas all the so-called parental experts.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see how their kids turned out.
That's a great idea.
Let's round them all up.
Yeah.
Let's get every one of these people, all these experts, and
yeah.
go, okay, now we'd like to interview your kids. You need to leave the room. Or we're going to visit your kids talking through one-way glass on a phone while they while we're taking everything out of our pockets
yeah.
so that they can't escape from a mental institution.
Yeah.
But I really have a hard time buying into, and maybe this is just being cynical, that anybody is any better at this than anybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody's finding their own way. Nobody's got the handbook, the mm-hmm. rule book. You know, nobody came down from heaven and said, here's how it needs to be done. And if you don't do it this way, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody finds their own way.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that if parents sort of really lived by what you just said, there is this weight that gets lifted off of your shoulders. It does alleviate some of that pressure to be perfect and, you know, not screw up your kids. I've said this before too. We're all screwing up our kids. It's just about what degree, really. You know, we do our best given the tools that we have and given the personalities of our each child. I mean, if you have multiple kids, they're all so different. And the way
right.
that I did it with Wilder is not the way I can do it with Bodhi. With Wilder, you know, I could, you know, you raise your voice and he responds. With Bodhi, you raise your voice and he doesn't give a shit. You know, same tactic, different personality.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more from Oliver and me. You said that a bunch with regard to it's not a matter of if you're screwing up your kids.
Yeah.
It's a question of how much. I think they're screwing me up because I've never had less of a fuse. I've never had less patience.
I know.
I've never I love them. I want to eat them. I love them so much. But oh my God, it's just a lot of work. Yeah. And right now with two of them.
Oh, dude, when you're one in goes a gnarly down, spot ugh. Right now. You've got twins at the age where it's just gnarly with one. You know? That's a crazy age.
Yeah. It's so then there's that. And then there's picking up the boys and one of the two of them at an unnamed school in an unnamed city. Okay, St. Louis. when one of them got in the car, the teacher said, well, we had a little issue today at the nursery school, or whatever the hell you call it, at three. Somebody bit Wyatt.
Ooh.
I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. She's like, but we had a long talk about it. This person did not break the skin. I'm like, okay, we're good. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. I'm like, why? It was, and he didn't even care.
Right.
So, well, the bigger deal you make of it, the more he's going to make it.
Totally. This is more of it seems like a teacher issue than it is a child issue. You know what I mean? It's like they're covering their ass. They're just having to, when Y is probably like, all right, whatever, I got bit and I forgot about it already.
Right. Yeah. And he's fine.
But yeah,
that's I'm just back in all this, and it's just so funny because it's like, all right, here we go, time to line up. And that I before you and I just got on right now, I saw an email from this person's parents, and I'm just gonna fuck with them. I'm just gonna be like, you will be hearing from our lawyer, and that's it.
You should do that. Just totally freak them.
Let them sit on it for like 2 hours and they go, are you kidding me? We're good. They're three.
No,
he's
gonna
be okay.
You know what you should do? You should send him a referral to a dentist to get a bite mark, you know, like an impression, like Ted Bundy had to do, you know?
Exactly. Like, Hannibal or, hey,
that's so
your kid's a
so
carnivorous.
Wait a minute. The parents emailed you?
Yeah, they're just being nice. I would feel terrible if my kid bit somebody else's
I guess
kid.
So.
It's like day three of school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Aaron's reminding me of the time in kindergarten, right? Or first grade. And she apparently like spit in someone's food. And this is what I was told. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, I'm like Mr. Defend Your Kid First. Like, the teachers are guilty until proven innocent in my eyes when it comes to like my kids. I'm like, this does not sound like Rio at all. What are we talking about here? And then I talked to Rio about it and she was just making a joke. You know, they were playing around at lunch and she's like, looks, she's like, you know, like one of those things joking around. But apparently the way it was portrayed was she, you know, spit some big ass loogie in her food, which Rio adamantly denied.
Right.
She denied the loogie. Yeah, she's doing a joke. Right. But it turned into this whole thing. And, you know, I don't know. This is what kids do.
This is what kids do. I do feel like there's a little bit, and I could be dead wrong and I'll get killed for this, but I feel like there's a little bit more snowflakey out there. Like,
oh, yeah.
Your child got into my child's space.
Oh, yeah.
My child's safe space. And
yes.
I'd like to talk to your child about that.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Well, look, I'll get killed right along with you because I couldn't agree more. You know what I mean? I definitely think that we coddle our kids way too much. You know, I mean.
We're in the Midwest. They're like, hey, your kid just puked on my kid.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, I mean, there's tough love. That's a real thing. Like, toughen up a little bit. You know, I love you. I don't need to show you I love you every 5 minutes. You feel that. Hey, toughen up. All right. Get it together. Get your shit together. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out. I'm not here to figure your whole life out for you. You deal with it. You know?
I mean, I love Michelle so much. And I wish I had more of this because she's like, she says to Wyatt, you know, well, when you got bitten, you know, how did that make you feel? I'm like, oh, fuck. It's three.
Right. You're like,
it hurt. I don't know. It hurt.
Right,
and then
hurt.
I moved on.
Right.
I felt violated. I felt like my sacrosanct personal space had been violated. And I'm glad you asked me that, Mother. Here are some of the things that I'd like to discuss with this person. No.
He's like, Blake actually put together a PowerPoint presentation. Blake?
That is, I got to say this, that is the cool thing. Is that the teacher, who was great about all of it, I'm not picking on her at all. She was like, the best thing was that Blake was more worried about it than Wyatt. Mm. Wyatt was the one that was bitten, but Blake is the defender. Like, if I mess with Wyatt, mm-hmm. Blake comes at me.
Oh, really?
If I'm like, you know, pushing him or messing with him and, you know, like pulling a little hair or something just to kind of get his goat a little bit. Blake will come at me, fists up, like, get off him.
Wow.
Like, yeah. So I love that. So the fact that she said, you know, Blake was really worried about Wyatt.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's cool. I love that. Yeah. That's so great. I mean, honestly, like, that's what my kids are all amazing, but you watch them go from being so close. And they're still in love, of course, but, you know, they get older and they separate. And then you feel that, and there's something that is that's nostalgic and you long for it. And then I get upset, like, you need to love your brother. You need to love your sister. Treat her right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, because I watch them sort of separating a little bit, and it's kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah. But I can tell you, because I've seen the other end of the rainbow here, my daughters would get into it. They were very close. Then they'd get into it. Then my older daughter is just really a little more needy in the cutest way. She used to pay her little sister to come sleep in her room, sleep in her bed, because she just wanted company. And then now there's such a closeness between the two of them. It's the greatest thing. And they're young adults, you know, with very serious boyfriends, but it's like, do not mess with my sister. Mm-hmm. And seeing that is so great, because my sister and I are best friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's got the keys to all of my information, mm-hmm. my bill paying, my mm-hmm. whatever. She's mm-hmm. got everything, but she's also my best friend and somebody that I really confide in and whatever. We were not that way as kids. We fought like cats and dogs. Oh. She was a handful and I had to be the dad because my dad was gone a lot traveling. And now, you know, my point is we traveled a different path, but we ended up in the same place. And now my daughters are so close, and your kids are going to be so
I think that, I think they will. I honestly have PTSD from myself, you know, from the way that I treated Kate growing up. I watch the boys sometimes give Rio shit, and it makes me crazy because I see myself in them with my sister, and I boil. It's like, don't you, you know, touch her, and they're like, Dad, she's always trying to get us in trouble, and I'm like, no, she's not, you know, even though they're probably right, but right. I have this weird thing that because I was such an asshole to Kate, I do not want them to follow in that. You know, on that path,
yeah,
with their sister, you know. But
I
they'll be close. I'm not really worried. It's just them drifting apart a little bit.
Your whole family is very close.
Yeah,
I know you feel tension from time to time, but you're closer than most. I don't see a lot of families that want to be around each other as much as you guys do.
Yeah,
so that's good.
No, for sure. For sure.
And Kate's engaged. You know, she's so good at keeping stuff close to the vest. I didn't even know she was engaged. I was there in the wolf's den with the two of them mm-hmm. and talked to Danny forever, and that never came up. And then 6 minutes later, I read on the New York Post, my New York Post app, that they're engaged.
Yeah. I know. They kept it quiet, you know. It's cool. I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for Kate and Danny.
He's the best.
He's just so great.
Love Danny.
He's just so, he's very grounding and very normal, and I love him, and he's just a fun, sensitive human being. You know, I think they're good for each other. You know, hopefully it works. Hopefully it all works out forever and ever, but fuck, you never know. That's the beauty about my sister, though. You know, I love that about her, her freedom of, you know, just sort of saying, hey, this is who I am. Yeah, I have three kids with three different dudes. I don't give a shit. This is my life, and I'm happy, and this is how I do it. You know?
If you have a problem with it, that's your problem.
Yeah, that's your problem. Not mine. You know, I love that attitude of hers. She's just unafraid, you know?
Yeah, and I wish I had more of that.
No, God. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Why did you get kicked off Instagram?
Oh, it's funny. I was going to talk about that. I didn't get kicked off Instagram. I got a notice that one of my posts had been taken down due to nudity. And it was from 2018, and they just took it off my public feed. And it was me, you know, doing certain some OTG off the grid sort of stupid wacky thing, and I'm running away naked. It's my ass just running away in the snow in Colorado, and I'm just screaming my head off, like horrific screams. It's just weird, you know?
Yeah, I remember that one. That's gone.
And Wilder filmed it, which we have the behind the scenes of it that Aaron shot that's really funny. And it was from 2018. Then I get this notice that it's been removed due to nudity. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's so crazy. Then I went down an Instagram model rabbit hole just looking at what is actually on Instagram. It's crazy the things that they're allowing on Instagram and taking my gross jiggling ass off that is comedic. I mean, these girls are practically naked. Yeah, they're wearing clothes,
my God.
But it's like you can totally see their nipples. The camel toe isn't even, it's not even a camel toe. It's just like a see-through, it's just a vagina that's hanging out. It's basically like porn, you know? And they're removing my jiggling ass?
Well, yours was just insulting.
Who was I insulting?
Just the human race that had to look at that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the argument is, could be that these are beautiful women with beautiful bodies.
Right. Yours was an art. Yours was just weirdness.
Yeah, but the weirdness is art.
But do they have the ability to go into my mind and make me unsee it?
No, not yet. That's probably coming in the next 10 years. But
so it can be erased from my memory.
I guess
I remember it.
The question
it's jarring.
The question is though, why now? It's from 2018. And how does something like that get removed? Did someone have to, you know, report me? I mean, is that what had to happen?
Yeah, you went in front of the parole board. And now
I'm like Sirhan.
Yes. Yeah. Now you're tagged. And, you know, good luck living the life you want to live going forward. You know, that whole thing has messed you up for life.
I don't understand, though. I guess someone had to, I don't know. You know what? I should just repost it and see what happens.
Test them. That's what I want to do with 23andMe. I want to spit into another jug and see if I come back 99% Irish and 1% English and no percent anything else.
Is that what you are?
Yeah, it was 90. It was like 94% Irish and then some part English. And my mom was insulted. I mean, her last name's Linsnick.
Right.
She's Polish.
Right.
She's German. It's like, well, that's not right. I'm your mother. And I'm like, I don't take this personally. I don't know. I just spit into a test tube and I sent it off. And all of a sudden, I'm like a
leprechaun.
I'm like selling Lucky Charms.
Well, you and Aaron both. She's a leprechaun. I used to call her my little leprechaun when we first started dating because she looked like this hot little leprechaun.
Yeah, well, I'm not that, but I am like almost all Irish.
Well, you know what's weird is I did 23, I did Ancestry, and then I did 23andMe, so I did both. And the technology gets better and better, and they keep updating your genetics as the testing gets better, I guess. So I started out a certain percent Italian, and then it keeps building and building and building until I'm finally sort of like living on the Amalfi Coast. Like,
right.
I mean, I don't know why it's happening. I get an update every month and a half. It's like, oh, you're even more Italian. Hey, you know, it's like, it's weird. I don't know why that's happening, but I'm becoming more Italian.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does that now allow you to audition for more roles in Hollywood? Don't you have to be, mm-hmm. don't you in Hollywood now have to be exactly
what
you're reading for?
Yeah.
Like you can't stretch and be anything you're not.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't play Brad Pitt's role in with the terrible Irish accent in whatever movie that was with Harrison Ford.
Right. I think with accents you're okay. You know,
accents
what I mean?
You're okay.
I think with accents you're okay. But I you know, if I'm playing like an Italian guy, I think that's okay.
So you're good.
I'm good. I'm good.
Well, you are Italian.
I'm Italian, right. I'm good. Yeah.
Godfather 4.
Aren't they doing the Godfather TV series or am I crazy? I think I'm
No, they're doing
it.
The Sopranos.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. That's
the prequel to The Sopranos, which you could now be in.
That's right. Well, like Gandolfini's son.
The many bridges or the many something of.
Yeah, and it's Gandolfini's son is playing him.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. You speak the truth. Should we do some viewer?
Let's do it.
Otherwise known as listener things.
Yeah.
Why do I always have to be the one to read these things? Because I'm the announcer.
Yeah. By the way, how was Sunday?
It was good. It was good. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that. But Sunday was great. I mean, it was a blowout game, but it was good to be back. But Saturday night at Citi Field on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 was a night that I don't think I'll ever forget. I mean, nobody will ever forget 9/11, but that celebration and remembrance of that night 20 years later was wow. Mm-hmm. It was powerful. That is the first time in a long time I've actually cried.
Wow, you cried.
I cried during the pregame.
You never cry.
No, I'm a pretty easy cry, but I cried during the pregame and was thankful that
wow.
I didn't have to say anything for a little while because I was choked up. But
wow, I got to see it. I got to see it. I didn't watch the sort of the celebration, you know, or the recap, I guess. I didn't see it. It was good. Well produced.
I'm assuming it was the Mets and Major League Baseball, but it was so great. You know, when they had the first responders come out and then they had ex-Met players with each, you know, the firefighters and then the police officers and then you hear the stories. And I interviewed a guy who lost his brother, a firefighter, and he walked in his honor raising money from, I guess he ended in New York. He went the Pentagon or he went DC, but the Pentagon to the field in Pennsylvania to back to the city in Ground Zero. He walked it to raise money for families that were affected by losing somebody, a loved one during 9/11.
Wow.
And
it was
great. And the guy was such a normal, you know, he was a firefighter. The brother who died was his little brother. It was a family of firefighters. Just kind of it's just the quintessential American family that just, and they basically raised their little brother and he passed away and this guy had five kids and.
Wow. Man. No, I know. I was in Albuquerque. I actually flew on 9/11, and then I had a couple days off, and I went down the 9/11 new documentary rabbit hole. There's one on Netflix. There's one on our history. I think the History Channel did one really incredible docuseries, and it is just unreal.
The one that there's one that Michelle told me to watch. It said it's just the best thing she's seen. It's called, she said, you need to watch Turning Point 9/11 and the War on Terror on Netflix.
Yeah, it's great. I watched it. It's pretty incredible. And then there's another one that really just deals with the day of 9/11, and the footage is unbelievable. They've got new audio, fresh footage that you've never seen before, closed circuit TV stuff. It's horrible. I mean, it's so tragic, and to relive it again, to watch these images, it's just unbelievable. You know, we forget. You know, it's like you never forget, but you sort of do, and until it's brought back, and it's just unfucking believable what happened on that day.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. And to
it's watch. Almost like you got you, because I'm sure you were like me. I didn't know you back then, but I'm sure you were like me that you. I was just mesmerized, and I'm sure there were some things that you almost repress remembering because it was just surreal, and then feeling vulnerable in your own country and being in large groups. It was just a, it's hard to believe. And I think we talked about this the other day.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
It's hard to believe that that actually was the overriding feeling I felt, was that we're all susceptible to something like this happening. Yeah. And we are, I mean, but you know, to a certain degree.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it went well. I wish I saw it. I didn't get to see it.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues, and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg
you. That's right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
All right. I have these pulled up.
All right. Go ahead. Let's go.
I see that there's somebody who just continually shoots us questions. M. Night Shyamalan. A lot of questions. Ali, describe your life using film titles.
Oh my God! I Jesus Christ! I have. That's so difficult. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to start.
It's a lot of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right.
With some Parenthood.
Parenthood.
Mixed in.
A little Sleepless in Seattle. you know,
I don't know.
And, you know, when Aaron and I get it going, maybe a little Splash.
One of the all-time greatest. I consider making my daughters watch Splash when they were young is a great stroke of parenting.
Yeah, Splash was great.
So good.
Tom Hanks, that dude, unbelievable. Just in everything. And then, of course, ending off with There Will Be Blood. I think that's...
Yeah. Go ahead.
You abandoned my boy. I abandon my boy.
I love that. Okay. Let's see. Michelle Linza. Can you give us an update on your friend who lives in Dubai and his daughter's relationship? It's not improved. But he just lost his dad. And he is, you know, he's one of those guys that... We were friends in college, but we haven't seen each other much since then. I'd never knew him before college, and we've become closer and closer and closer, and kind of talking him through that. You know, he went through a lot of the same story that I went through with my dad, which was basically having a conversation with his father telling him, "I'm done. I don't want to fight this anymore. Let me go." And I had that same conversation with my dad, and so. Being able to use my life experience, you know, from 2002 when this happened to my dad, and be able to apply it to my friend Lee, I think was helpful. And it's funny that we get that question today because I got a text from him that he's on his way back to Dubai. But he's been here for the longest time and had to deal with his dad passing away. And he was on the other side of the earth. And it just so happened that it was kind of the same situation. I think his dad was waiting for Lee to come home and make sure everything was okay. And Lee found this incredible letter that his dad had written him just by happenstance. It laid out exactly what his dad wanted after his death. And so it's a sad story, but a beautiful story, and I'm really proud of my friend. So I think he's been through a lot, but he's doing good.
Great.
He really is.
Good to hear.
Why didn't Oliver do the Nashville final show with all the cast? Why did you tap out of that? Did you do that? I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah, I think they asked me to come down. You know, I think I was working, actually. It was a sort of a celebration, I think, at the Ryman or something like that, where the cast was getting on stage and doing a whole sort of thing, and I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, I read at the time, and this could be wrong, that you had a tough time with that stage bow that everybody does, kind of the hop and then the bow.
Yeah.
Like the, yeah. Yes.
I couldn't find the timing, you know?
Yeah.
And
everybody else, where you all grab hands, yep, and you do the little, yep. Ah, yes.
Yep, yeah. Everyone would go before me and then yank me down. And
you yank Connie Britton's shoulder out of the socket. It was...
Yeah.
Yeah. I keep referencing Connie Britton in that show because I don't know anybody else that was in it. Hayden Panettiere.
Yeah, was she very in good. Very
Hayden
good.
Hayden Panettiere.
Hayden Panettiere.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't make it. I didn't make it. I think I was working. Nothing too exciting. Not a good story to tell.
Joe, can you? This is the same guy. This guy's asked like 55 questions. I'm not even going to read it because it's too many from him.
That's our one listener. Come on.
Huh?
It's our one listener.
We've got one listener. Yeah, this is kind of like college radio. Right now.
It's so true, especially even the way it's all set up, you and I.
I mean, I'm barely can get online. You're on this thing. We send it to this genius Josh who cuts it all up, and then it comes out, and I don't even know how it all happens.
I have no idea. It's such college radio. By the way, that's a good name for a title for a podcast.
Yeah.
College radio.
Yeah. Okay, I'll read one more, okay, and then we'll go, because I want to watch the latest episode of Ted Lasso and go to bed. I got to fly tomorrow to DC and do a game. I'm Ooh. Tired. Ollie, same guy, but he's still getting it. Do you walk around the house naked?
Yeah, I do. Still
when
naked.
The kids are home?
Yeah, still naked in front of the kids. You know, I just, if they don't want to see it, then I guess they can walk out, you know, but I
don't feel good about that at all.
You mean about you or the fact that I do that?
The fact that you do that. I for sure don't do that.
Why is that? Why?
I don't walk around naked in front of myself. Why? Because you're like an old grizzled veteran and you have, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
just
but,
leave
but
a little bit to the imagination.
No, but I mean, that's the way they've grown up. They've grown up with me naked and... You know, I keep it trim down there. I shave and really, you know, manicure it. So everything looks pretty good. And my body's in decent shape. I don't look like some old, gross man quite yet.
But that's even more reason to not do that. Especially if you're, like, leaving a trail of hair after a big trimming session. You've got a daughter, for God's sake.
I know. Well, I wonder that, too, with sort of Rio looking at her mom and... You know, there's no pubic hair anymore. It just doesn't exist, right? So is this just the way that all little girls are going to think it goes? Or she's going to see her mom with no pubic hair, so she's going to grow pubic hair, and it's almost like, what the hell is this? You don't have this. You know?
I don't even want to comment on any of this. I feel like I'm going to get arrested. I don't. Okay. Let's just. Should we end the podcast with that? Should that be the final overriding thought? Is that how we go off the
air?
Yeah,
let's just go off the air that way.
This might be our last thing. If you got canceled on Instagram for your ass, can't talk about your 8-9-year-old daughter and her future.
She hasn't gone through puberty yet. It's a real question, you know. I mean, the fact that this is what she's looking at, and
I think this is the least of your worries.
I'm not worried. It was just a topic that I knew you wanted to discuss, so I brought it up.
Oh my God.
Do you think your mom still has pubic hair?
I don't know. In fact, now you're making me think of it.
I mean, does it go away after a certain age to fall out? I mean,
does your mom?
Probably, I would say yes. That's my guess. I mean, I haven't seen her vagina. That would be really weird, you know.
But meanwhile, your 8-year-old daughter is taking mental snapshots, and someday will sketch you.
No, it's natural.
She's gonna go through therapy for this.
No way. It's not like I'm. There's nothing provocative. I'm just out of the shower.
It's like Viggo Mortensen with the kids that lived in nature. And
great movie.
I give you $1 billion if you can tell me the name of that movie.
I
3, 2, 1. Nope, you didn't do it.
Damn it! Could have gotten $1 billion. I know it. Shit. Forget it.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Great movie, by the way. Evergreen. No, I'm not gonna guess. I know it. I can't bring it up.
Come on. I can't think of it either.
I can't think
now
of
it's
it.
Driving me nuts.
I know.
It's a weird name, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it's one word. I feel like there's a text is going to come on the bottom of the screen with Margot, you know, saying, it's this.
Well, the only thing I see in our chat is the many saints of New York, but that's...
Hidalgo? What are you... No!
What? The many saints of Newark. Sorry, the many saints of Newark. That's the Gandolfini.
That's
thing.
The Gandolfini, that's the and then prequel. She said Hilgaldo, that's some emperor movie from the 1920s. No. I think he was nominated for an Academy Award. He lives off the grid with his kids, and they're whip smart, but he's sort of a badass. And babe, what's that movie called with Viggo Mortensen where they're living off the grid with the kids?
Nobody can come up with the name of that.
It was great. Oh God, what's it called?
Oh, I got it.
What?
Captain
Fantastic.
Yes.
Damn it, I could have gotten $1 billion off you. I knew that.
I know. Captain Fantastic.
Oh yeah. That's what I said.
That would have been a good one to go back to do a callback. Had Viggo Mortensen gotten out of that SUV in New York in front of the Greenwich Hotel. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that's cool. He's cool. You should watch that movie. I think you'd really like it, honestly.
What movie?
Captain Fantastic.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I just couldn't think of the name of it either.
All right.
Yeah. Eastern Promises.
I remember that. Eastern Promises. Good movie.
He's been in a lot of good ones. The Road. Did you ever see The Road? Yeah. Did you read that book?
That book was a good amazing. Book. Love that book. I got to read more. I'm locked into The Bachelor in Paradise. I know, dude. I know. My brother Wyatt, he loves it, and he's seen every season or whatever of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Watch one episode, and I'm just linked. I'm hooked in, and I can't stop.
Isn't there, and I'm not putting myself on any higher plateau. I just, there's such a dumb quality to some of these people on there that I just can't entertain it.
The thing is, yes, they have those characters. There are some people who are highly intellectual, very articulate, understand how they feel, are very communicative. That's what draws you in. It's not just some crazy, stupid show where it's a bunch of people who are idiots.
It's close.
I know what you mean, but I have to give it its credit.
Oh my God, this has been an amazing journey.
There are people like that, but there are also actually some pretty good people.
I know, but I just can't get past the fact that unless they've been shooting for 3 months, this is like a 2 week, 3 week process where they're all in and they're crying and they're, you know, meanwhile, the person that they're in love with or think they're in love with is doing the same thing with 16 other people.
Yeah. That's why Bachelor in Paradise is cool, because what they do is they take bachelors, bachelorettes, contestants from the various shows. They know who have connected off screen in their own lives, and they bring them together on this island. And the idea is that you're sort of pairing up, finding your person, maybe falling in love, and then the boys get a rose 1 week, and then the next week the girls get a rose. And every episode, hold on, before you laugh at me, every episode, they bring in three new contestants, three new people.
Oh, my God.
Who they know.
How do they find those people?
Well, because they know they're from The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Oh, it's
they're
genius.
All alums of The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yes, yes.
Joe, yes. You guys, you and Michelle, just watch the first episode. You're going to be. All the guys are so jacked. It's crazy.
I don't know. There's not one thing. When I've watched plenty of those shows, there's just not anything I've ever heard that I'm like, oh, I'd really love to hang out with that guy. I just want to just throw up on all.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not saying that it's like beautiful television. It's just a guilty pleasure that I can't stop watching. I just can't.
Okay. All right. All right. I'm excited to go watch Ted Lasso. So
I want to finish it.
I'm no better than you.
I got to finish the second season of that. You know what I started? I watched three episodes of last night that I think you might like. It's called Hit and Run. It's on Netflix. It's an Israeli format. And it's pretty good. Have you seen Fauda on Netflix?
No.
That's really good. Same creators.
How can you watch Fauda, something called Fauda, and then back that up with Bachelor in Paradise?
Well, when I'm in my sort of hotel zone, because I get lonely and all I have is my computer to watch movies on. So I'll go hard Bachelor in Paradise for like an hour and a half and smoke a joint and like it's blazed. And then I'm like, all right, I'm tired of this. I need something else. And then boom, I'll hit some Fauda, you know? And then I'm like, All right, what do we got next? Oh, I got one. That Marty Fish documentary, which we didn't even talk about, which was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, called Untold. My cousins are the creators of the show, Mac and Chap. And they've done an amazing job with this particular series. And Joe and I know Marty pretty well. And he really opened himself up and created an amazing piece on himself and mental health. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's called Breaking Point.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Look, I'm at Kinko's. My credit card expires after an hour, so I gotta go.
Let's go. We'll talk about it later.
I'm on a burner account right now.
You're on a burner Zoom. You're on a burner.
Yeah, I am. Right. Yeah.
All right, good. Well, we covered some ground, and we got.
Did you know that I go to Kinko's every week? Did you know that?
Oh, do you really to do your laminating?
Yeah, to do my boards for football.
That's so funny. Do they know you over there?
Oh my God, Kathleen, she's the greatest lady of all time. She gets my stuff done. Like I don't even have to say anything. It's like, I got it.
Really?
I put my little boards in place and boom, I'm out the door to go do my football game. Yeah, I don't think I could live without Kathleen.
Well, you know what I'm going to get you for Christmas is a laminator.
Well, it's not laminate. It's 11. I need an 11 by 17 printer, which at one point I had. But then I go in and I spiral bind them. And I mean, you've seen my football stuff before. Yeah.
All right.
It's, but go ahead. I would not laugh at that gift horse.
All right.
And I would not laugh in the face of that, in the mouth. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah, that.
Let's end right
there. You buy me a laminator and I will laminate the shit
out of things.
Everything.
Okay, good.
All right.
All right, Joseph.
All right. Hey, whenever you go back to Albuquerque, you make us proud in the Fox family. You make great TV.
Yeah, baby. We're together now, man. I'm excited.
Same family.
Same family. That's right.
Same damn family.
Yep.
Okay. Well, all right, bud. Give Aaron a squeeze for me.
Yeah. Same with Michelle. Good luck with the boys. Tell her to stay away. Tell Michelle to stay away.
And I just came downstairs. The minute they started screaming their heads off, and it's again the phrase from a 3-year-old: "Why are you doing this to me?" is a tough one to swallow.
It's
I'm not
hard,
gonna lie,
man.
To.
That's all hard. It's humorous.
And the way Blake
too.
Talks, his enunciation is like, "Why are you doing this to me?" He's like Hervé Villechaize up there, like the plane. Yes, boss.
Amazing. Well, before you know it, they'll be teenagers.
And I'll be
6 feet under.
6 feet under. I'll get into movies for half price if anybody ever goes back to movies again.
I know. Won't happen.
Oxygen. No.
All right, Hojo.
See ya.
Bye. Bye-bye. Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.